You are now listening to an all-new episode of Bubble Bath Stories with your hosts, Nikki Trends and Manny Oso.
And do you guys want me to look there?
Yeah, look at us, look at
that. When you're talking to the audience.
Yeah.
But when you're talking to us, look me in the eyes when you're talking to me.
All right, ready? What's up, everybody? It's your girl, Nikki Trends.
What's up? It's Manny Oso.
And we are here at Bubble Bath Stories Studio. That was, like, really hard to say. On a sixth season.
Six seasons. Two microphones.
Our studio is improving.
In-house guests.
Yep.
We are crushing it.
Banner.
Okay? And we have a banner. So we are pulling out all the stops for season six. Yo. Introducing our first guest of the new season.
Our first guest for season six.
That's right.
What's going on?
Hey, guest, introduce yourself to the people.
Hey, how's it going, guys? This is Justin Bieber. So excited to be in studio with you guys.
When is the tour coming?
It's coming back 2027.
I love how all your impressions have the same voice.
It was just my voice. This is Justin Bieber. Hi, everyone. I'm Papi Rosa. I am an artist here in Brooklyn.
Woo! So we first saw Papi Rosa at his show, Putaria. Was that your first show?
That was my first show. Y'all came to my first show and helped sell it out. So I feel like I owe you, like...
Yo, stop gassing us. Don't gas us.
No, it's not true.
Because we will tell everybody this.
That's right. You did sell out your first show.
Drink every time we say it's sold out.
We talked about this.
About selling out my show.
What is
it was sold out.
Yeah, right. Because it was...
my sold out show. That you guys went to because it was sold out.
All right, that's enough of that.
All right. What's it like selling out a show? Because I've never done it.
What's it like selling out a show?
Yeah.
That's a good question. I think you would think that your ego would be really high after selling out a show, but I think the way I interpreted that moment was I'm so lucky to be surrounded by community.
Yeah.
So much so that I have enough love in my life that people would be willing to show out. Yeah. Because I was nervous that no one's gonna come. I was nervous that my friends would be busy. I mean, it was a Monday night. I was afraid people would be like, no, like, I've got work the next day. But it wasn't something that I tried to do, but I think I genuinely had authentic connections with the people that came, and so the people that I vibed with came. And I think, ultimately, the people that are most important to me showed up.
No, it was nuts because it was hard to walk around.
It was hard to walk around, especially if you're kind of thick. Yeah. But I think that's what mattered, right? The people that needed to be there showed up. And
absolutely. And
it felt good. It was affirming.
That's how many amazing. How many people were there?
Well, I don't think numbers matter. 90. It was 90 people.
Dude, that is a lot. I dare anyone to look in their phone and just think of 10 people who you could call that would pick up. Right. You got 90 people to show up.
To pay money.
To pay money for me to just do some shit on the stage.
And we stayed all 4 hours.
We did.
We did.
So that's it.
And y'all were tipsy too. Y'all were drinking.
Yeah. We were waiting on that line mad long.
It was giving multiple drinks. Father, because... I would say a joke out of years, like, that's my son. Like, that was the energy you guys were giving.
The venue was really nice.
It was.
Yeah, I pass by that building a lot. And if you ever been...
You don't think of me,
the
huh?
Williamsburg Hotel.
It's in Williamsburg. It's called, the thing was like a water tower. Yeah.
It was on the top of the Williamsburg Hotel, and it was literally a water tank that they converted into a bar. For those at home.
The view
is literally beautiful. On top of a hotel, on, you know, the East River.
Yeah.
And all you see is the New York City skyline because it's that night. So yeah. Everything's like twinkling and it's magical.
No, it's really nice. It's really cool. I walked in and just thought like, I need to do something here too.
Yeah, y'all should just like get married for shits and giggles there.
Just for shits and giggles.
Don't say things like that on air. We're Spanish.
You're going to start arguments.
Yeah. Anyway.
On the comment section.
Yeah. You know, at the show, it was so much fun to learn like little tidbits about you through your bits. I mean, you lived in Jamaica. I mean, you had groups of friends from California, from Florida, New York. I mean, what the hell? Like, have you lived all these places?
No, I've only fucked in all these places. Okay. There's 90 people that I fucked so at that show.
There's a piece of you everywhere.
There's a piece of my whole all over the U.S.
How many places have you lived?
So I would say I've lived in Florida.
Yeah.
I've lived in LA, now New York, where Bubble Bath Stories is located, and Jamaica. And I wanna say I've lived in Colombia, but I wouldn't say that, but I would spend my summers in Colombia visiting family. But I would say then four places I've lived long term.
I mean, I think if you spend your summers there, that you got a place to live there, you know?
Yeah. What was your experience like in Jamaica? Were you like already out? Were you a kid? Like, how did that come about?
Well, I think everyone's fascinated with the Jamaica story because they're like, what is this white kid doing in Jamaica?
I bet.
Like,
Papi Rosa in Jamaica?
Like, how did you end up there? And
with no accent. No like accent. How long were you there for?
So I was there for 3 years, but my little brother, when we moved back to the US, he kind of had a little bit of like a Hispanic Jamaican accent. So he would always be like, Mami, tengo hambre. And I was like, all right, it's time to choose one, boo. Mami, te amo. And I was like, all right, bro.
Like he was doing a reggaeton song, like doing that.
I was like, okay, Cuban Rihanna, like, what are you doing? But I lived in Jamaica for 3 years, and my dad, technically my stepdad, he's from Haiti, so he moved me and my mom to the Caribbean because he wanted to move back to the Caribbean, and he got a job in Montego Bay, Jamaica, which is on the northern coast, at a hotel there. It was called Rose Hall. If you guys want to check it out, Rose Hall Resort and Spa, still there.
Oh, shit.
And so, yeah, I had, like, kind of, like, my early upbringing there. It was 5th grade, 6th grade, and 7th grade that I lived in Jamaica. And
those are important years.
It was developmentally important years.
How was that for you?
Well, I always like to joke that I didn't have an emo phase in Jamaica because no one in Jamaica was really emo.
I mean, how would...
I can't imagine a good Charlotte concert.
It's too
over
hard
there.
To be wearing all that black.
Yes.
People are too happy. I'm like, emo is a very big American thing.
I'm surprised it made it to Florida.
Honestly, yeah. I'm surprised kids in Florida will wear like black skinny jeans and bangs. And you're gonna get acne on your forehead because of your bangs, girl. Snip them. But yeah, so I moved to Jamaica at that age and did schooling there, and my brother did too. And I just think Jamaica was so foundational to who I am now, but I don't think I realized it then. Now as an adult, sometimes I'll say things or I'll do things and I'm like, oh, that's because of where I lived. But it was such a great time. I mean, it was rough at first because I went to a school where kids kind of go from 1st grade all the way until they graduate.
So they've been together a long time.
They've been together for a long time. Yeah. There's a lot of homophobia in Jamaica.
Right.
I was like one of the few white kids, so it was kind of like all guns were pointed at me when I started. But I will say, ultimately, in being myself, I found the right people. And even though there's a lot of homophobia in Jamaica, I found myself in situations where like I never felt unsafe. It was just kind of like a bully or two here and there with a session like that.
Were you like 7 feet at this? Because you're pretty tall. Were you already 7 feet at that point?
I was a short, chubby kid.
No.
He's on our short chair, you guys.
I was a short, chubby kid. I had titties. I was round, plump. And so kids would make fun of me because I had tetas.
Wow. Papi Rola.
Papi Rolas.
When
Just like, in case, real? You know.
Yeah. I was a chunker. I was a cute little chunker. And I remember there was this kid. maybe I shouldn't say his name. There was this kid. He was from Holland. He was Dutch.
In Jamaica?
In Jamaica. So okay. He was international. My school was... We had... One of my best friends was Indian. My other best friend was Mexican. My other best friend was, like, American. It was kind of an international school because all those parents worked at hotels, but they were all transplants. And so there was local Jamaicans that went to the school if their parents had money, or it was all the transplants, people from all over the world.
Wow.
So my friend group was significantly more diverse than it has ever been in New York or LA or Florida, because it truly was like an actual melting pot.
But it was all rich kids.
It was all...
Essentially.
I would say yes. It was all rich kids because it was a private school.
Yeah.
And a private school in Jamaica is expensive.
Yeah.
So mind you, at the time... When I lived in Florida, I didn't have access to wealth like that. But in Jamaica, we didn't have to pay rent because we lived on the hotel property.
Oh, wow.
Everything my father made was profit. My mom didn't have to work. We ate at the restaurant for free. Like, everything we made was profit. Wow. So we were really comfortable while we were in Jamaica.
Did you ever work at the hotel?
No.
No, he was a little tiny baby. Like,
that would have been illegal.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
But I was, like, I would walk around the hotel and they'd be like, Paul, like, how are you? Paul's my government name. Ooh. They'd be like, Paul, how are you? How are you? How's it going? Like, they would see me. People would always know me as Sergo, as my dad's name, Sergo. They'd be like, oh, Sergo son. So I kind of had clout in the hotel, but... It was interesting to me because I kind of was admittedly separated from, I would say, like, the poverty of the island.
Right, of course.
Because I lived secluded in a hotel.
Yeah.
Right.
So my experience is very unique, and there's a lot of privileges that come with it because ultimately not everyone in Jamaica lives on a hotel. Nor do they have access to wealth like that. So I would say I lived a very privileged life in Jamaica, ultimately to only lose all of it when I came back to the US.
Right.
Yeah.
And so at the time I think everyone deserves a little period of like steady income because since then we've never had that again. It was a very secluded period of our lives.
Yeah.
We were broke before, not then, and then broke after.
What age did you leave Jamaica?
I left when I was 13.
Oh, gotcha.
And then I did 8th grade in the US, and then did high school in Central Florida, and then went to college in Miami.
Florida. Let's talk about Florida.
Florida!
What is it like for you to go back to Florida? Because, like, let's just throw it out on the table. When me and Manny go to Florida, there is nothing that I am worried about. Like, I'm going in just like, okay, I gotta see this person. For you, with the climate that's going on, with the bills that are being billed.
Yeah.
What is it like for you to visit Florida?
Well, I talk to my mom about this all the time because we grew up in such a diverse part of Florida.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That the bills that most people know that are coming out of Florida that are transphobic, homophobic, and regressive are sometimes even news to the people that live in Florida where I'm from, because we live in such a predominantly Black and Hispanic area that bills like that are kind of, I would say, rooted in a lot of like conservative American culture, rather than where I'm living, everyone's an immigrant. So they're not so much concerned with like the politics in America. And so I think it's kind of like in Kissimmee, where I'm from, it's a very blue bubble. So I never felt unsafe. And I always felt like most people there were so concerned with just like making a living wage that they weren't chatting about politics the way most Americans do, being born in America, because you kind of feel that you feel like the right to be able to criticize your own country. I think my mom and my grandparents were still focused on like Colombian politics and like what's happening back at home, whereas here they're just like working to make a living. So when I go home, I never feel unsafe though because of the area that I'm in. It's there's certain parts of, I always say this, Florida's like 27 states in one. If you drive a little too far, that shit goes red.
Yeah.
If you drive further, it can be blue. If you drive even further, it's red. Like, it really depends on where you are in Florida, where you can kind of feel the impact of the legislation.
I always say Florida's the new West because they let you do anything there right now.
No, you, I mean, unless you live in like a major part of Florida, everything else is bumfuck red.
But it's all for people who are homeowners because it's all property taxes over there.
Yeah.
I mean, the sheriffs, they run it. They really run Florida.
They run it.
Highway patrol, local PD.
Whenever they would stop me, I'd be like, hello, your honor. Like I would just give them like royalty. Like, hi.
Yeah, for real. But no, it's pretty scary. But, I haven't lived over there in a while, but I always feel like a lot of the climate of what we're talking about, I feel a lot of that is attributed to folks who aren't real, not a lot of folks, you know? I feel like it's just the people who own a house and are probably not even originally from Florida.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, the bluest parts of Florida are all of immigrants.
Yeah.
And most immigrants aren't concerned with policies that are being passed because either they don't have a say because they can't vote or they're living paycheck to paycheck. So I will say I grew up a little secluded from Florida's politics until I left. And then I realized it was the laughing stock of the U.S.
Yes.
But in the microcosms of like, you know, Kissimmee or Tampa or Miami, you don't really know what's happening because it's kind of like you're still in Colombia or you're still in Puerto Rico. Mm,
that's
like
a really good point.
Yeah, it's just those communities stick together. And so it kind of feels like you're not even in Florida until you drive north and you're like, oh, this is redneck as hell.
Yeah, because you're like, oh, well, of course, we all talk about Florida Man. Then it's like, oh, you guys know about Florida Man too?
Yeah.
I honestly didn't know so many of the jokes about Florida were really out there.
Yeah, they're out there.
People talk about Tampa all the time on television. How like it's a dreary place and a terrible place to live.
I'm always like, shout out to Tampa though. I think Tampa's
beautiful. I love Tampa.
From Tampa, I love you.
It must be because being away, right? Being away from a place you've been at makes you hear it more often, right? Or is it really that Florida's that great to talk about?
I think Florida has a lot wrong with it.
Yes.
But I think it depends on who you are.
Yeah.
That'll determine how much you realize that it's fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, you know, most like liberal Americans in their 20s are like, Florida's backwards. Because now they're probably like second generation, third generation, and they're comfy here. Their parents probably make money. They can criticize politics. Right. Everybody else is like, I'm not worried about that.
Right. Just don't raise my rent.
Just don't raise my rent. Because I got kids.
Yeah.
And we're trying to seek asylum. And, you know.
Well, let's talk about fun stuff.
Yeah.
Well, you've traveled a lot because you've traveled a lot. You've been to every single continent. It sounds like you've done a lot.
I have not been to every single continent.
Almost. You're a bubble bath.
Well, I mean, how many continents? You got
I have not been to every single continent.
She's missing a couple only, though, right? There's only a handful of continents.
Have you been to the North Pole?
I have not been to every continent.
Have you seen polar bears?
I have not seen polar bears. Hell no, I don't even like the cold. I would not like purposely be in the cold. Him, on the other hand, he'll pick the cabin on the highest mountain in a blizzard.
That's not my vibe.
You've done a lot of traveling?
I have made it my point to now as an adult travel.
Yeah.
So I recently went to Spain like 3 weeks ago. And I saw my dad, my biological dad, who I hadn't seen in like 10 years.
Oh, wow. Yeah, soap opera.
It was dramatic. Which is a lot of my stand-up has to do with like my life and my dad not seeing him. But I hadn't seen him in 10 years and we vibed. I was like, you're cool as fuck. I was like, you're kind of funny. And what was cool, he was kind of like, had this like very like butch swagger to him.
Yeah.
And because I didn't grow up with that, I feel like I'm a lot like my mom. Mm-hmm. Like I'm very tender like her, my manners. And so I feel like I'm fully just a fucking Hispanic woman.
Yes.
But seeing him, I was like, oh, I wonder how different I'd be if I had a blend of both of those worlds. Because he was giving, I'll fuck you up if you look at me too long.
I mean, your voice definitely can be.
I feel like
you can definitely cosplay it for sure.
I can drag.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah. You definitely can.
Drag.
Hey, you'd be like, yo, what's up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was cool. It was fascinating. And I mean, I didn't grow up with him. And so there were moments where I would crack a joke and he would laugh and we would have the same laugh. And wow. I was like, whoa. I was like, it's giving Maury. Yeah. Like, you are my father fully. But yeah, it was dope. So I'm making a point to travel. So I did Spain this year. I'm trying to do London at the end of the year. I'm doing Alaska with my mom in July.
Alaska, yeah.
But I just realized, like, if you don't make time for travel, it's never a good time.
No. Yeah.
So now I'm just, like, booking the date. And when the time comes, if a commitment comes up, I cannot go to that because I will be out of the country. Whereas before, I'd be like, what if something comes up? Let me not book anything. Right. And if you do that, you just literally will never book.
So let's talk about the birth of Papi Rosa. What was the first experience of entering the world as Papi Rosa?
Oh, this is a good question because I also need to think about it because it's been within the past year that this has happened.
Yeah.
Not even within the past, wow. I would say like 6, 7, 8 months.
Oh, you a newborn.
I'm fifth.
So you just started. My friend also just started.
Oh, baby. Oh, baby. It started, I would say, August of 2022. Mm-hmm. I started transitioning into having a stage name because I really wanted to combine drag with comedy. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, I want one name for drag and one name for comedy. I didn't want to go into drag, be Rosa, and then come out of drag and be like, Butch. So I was like, what's one name I can do for both?
Right.
And I was like, I can't, my drag name was Rosa. I had like 6 R's in it.
Yeah.
And so anytime I would perform, they'd be like, please welcome to stage. Rosa! And I would come out, big kids. But I was like, I can't be performing at the Comedy Cellar as Rosa.
Yes.
Looking like this. So I was like, I need an in-between name that would fit both worlds.
Right.
So initially I was like, let me do Poppy, P-O-P-P-Y, like the flower.
Oh yeah.
So it was two flowers, a Poppy Rosa. And then I started doing it and I started kind of like performing with it. But then the Miami kept coming out and the Poppy, P-A-P-I, started to take over. And at first I was like, damn, should I just switch? But I had 3 months where people were tagging me as Poppy, 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 Poppy. And I was like, fuck it, let me just switch now, because then it's going to be 4 months of Poppy, Poppy, Poppy. So I switched to Poppy Rosa.
Yeah.
I think either, yes, at the beginning of this year, February, mm-hmm. I did a full brand switch. Dyed my hair red, became Poppy Rosa.
Oh, so you just started with the red hair.
I just started with the red hair, and the brand went hard. And so that's the name now that I use for comedy and for drag.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm doing my first drag show June 29th at Brooklyn Comedy Collective. And it's going to be high.
And it's going to be sold out.
It's going to be sold out.
Sold out again, yes.
We want to sell at least 120 tickets. That's the goal.
Ooh.
We want it to be a Coachella performance. I have 6 backup dancers. We meet every Wednesday night and we're just like going over the choreo.
Where do we get the Molly? That's kind of a joke based on reality, but go on.
Yeah. And then I'm singing a song. So I'm meeting with a vocal coach on Fridays. I'm gonna sing a Spanish ballad during the routine. And then I have like a group of like Broadway singers that are come on. They're gonna do a piece as well. And then I have a friend who does drag and they're gonna
A group
on.
Of Broadway singers?
They're gonna come on and I'm gonna, I'm gonna be singing. I'm gonna be like, please welcome my friends. They're gonna come on.
Okay, Mariah.
I really wanted to feel
Have
like
Have you been watching
Coachella.
Like old videos of like VMA performances?
Yes.
Yes.
Here's the thing, right?
I am excited.
I don't like to say that I'm a comedian
mm-hmm.
because I feel like I like to blend so much more into it with like the dance and the singing. And so I usually just say I'm an artist. And so for this performance, I really just want to invite other people who mm-hmm. have other forts of
No, it's a night of entertainment. That's what it is.
I just want people to leave like, damn.
There's some jokes.
That was gay and good.
There's a skit.
Right.
There's everything. There's a little bit of
everything.
There's going to
be stand-up, pre-taped sketch, a live sketch.
Yeah. Somebody might, a Broadway performer? That's awesome.
Broadway performer.
That's awesome.
Backup dancers. It's going to be the full thing.
Okay.
All for the price of $15.
And that's it. And that's
$15.
It.
It's a fundraiser.
$15.
Oh.
All the money's being donated.
What's the fundraiser for?
So right now we're trying to decide if we should stick to the typical Trevor project. Mm. But I think our show, the target demographic is queer and BIPOC people. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to look into maybe more local New York organizations right. that are maybe targeting queer and BIPOC, like homeless youth or people struggling. And maybe like put all the money towards that avenue because I feel like it would match the theme of the show.
If you could start your own charity, like let's talk 20 years in the future, and these shows are like sold out in Madison Square Garden. If you could start your own charity after that, what would you do it for?
So the dream ultimately, I've always wanted to start a homeless shelter, but so initially I wanted to go into social work. That's what I was kind of studying in college. And then I was like, I really want to perform. But I never kind of like let go of that dream. It's still always in the back of my mind. So ultimately I would love to have like my own rehab center. So we like rehabilitate people, give them therapy, get them off drugs, do everything they need to do for free.
Nice.
Which would be so expensive on our behalf. Mm-hmm. But I feel like that's the beauty of entertainment. People are willing to pay for entertainment, then you use that to help people.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think the issue is with rehab centers and stuff like that, it's hard to make profit off of them.
Absolutely.
And plus, no one ever does them.
Yeah.
So I want to have enough influence where I'm like, well, I don't need to make money off of this.
That's why they're so corrupt too.
Yes, they're so corrupted. And so I'm like, I just want to have a rehab center. Cause the truth is like the homeless are the forgotten of society. Like, we don't really talk about them. We live amongst them. We don't really help them because most people also don't really have the money or the means to be able to help.
Yeah.
Because most people are, you know, one check away from also maybe being there. So I would love to get to a place where the shows do well enough where I can like, boom, start my own center and like just invite anybody that wants help to go
that.
In.
That is so beautiful. Let's put that.
That's the dream. That's the dream.
It would be called Montego.
Montego. Oh, nice. Yes.
Oh my God, your ring fell off.
Yes.
It's going to come
it's
true.
It's going to happen.
That's, what, yeah. That's, not, that's like the second time. Yeah.
Yeah. That means it's going to happen. On my fake Amazon Prime rings.
What like artists do you think influence you the most for your performances?
Damn, let me tell you.
You don't even.
So there's like a top. I'll say top four.
Yeah, you say four.
The first large scale drag performance I did was in Miami.
Okay.
And I could send it to you guys in case you guys want to stitch it into this. It was a performance. It was a fundraiser for HIV clinic in Miami. Six backup dancers. We had live drummers. And literally the reason I had so many moving pieces was because I watched Beyonce's Coachella performance, Homecoming. And I just remember being so moved by it because it wasn't just a performance. I felt like it was the meeting of several different forms of art.
Absolutely.
To put on a production.
Right.
She didn't just go on stage and twerk.
Yeah.
She
It's almost like it was telling a story.
Yeah.
It was kind of like a Broadway show.
Yeah.
There were so many moving pieces and it was so thoughtful that I was like, you know what? I want people to leave my show almost like inspired to create whatever it is they want to create.
Yeah.
Because they're seeing so much thought being put into it.
Yeah.
So Beyonce number one, by the way, I'm seeing her in July.
Where?
Whose child did you sell to get that ticket?
I sold my kids.
Whose? No way.
I sold
they
my own, kids.
That's like $20. You would have to literally be doing it for like mad long.
I came into seven buckets to buy.
Okay,
one
not even.
I was like, take all my semen. I want
gross. All right, number one, Beyonce.
Beyonce.
Duh.
Which is such a.
It's like,
duh.
So surprised.
I'll take real bird.
Okay.
So Beyonce, I have to say, a lot of what I do, I sort of look to her and think, you know, if she's going to stay up until 5 a.m., let me stay up until 5 a.m. and work hard. Because I think.
You better work, bitch.
Yeah. Artistry is so important. Like, even this podcast, I'm sure you guys can stay up, edit. Like, your artistry is so important, you have to make time for
right.
it.
Right.
It stresses you out, yeah.
Yeah, it stresses you out, but then once it's done...
In a good way, yeah.
Yeah, it's done, and you're proud of it. Mm. I think the second artist would be Rosalía.
Okay. Yeah, I see that.
This is a more current artist. A cute bitch that speaks Spanish is just the moment for me. A cute bitch that speaks Spanish, she can conquer the world, actually.
She can.
I love Rosalía so much.
No.
It, That is my second. And then the third, I would say Doja Cat.
That's interesting.
Yes. Doja Cat, I think, is a legend.
Really?
Yeah. She's a legend.
I'm not gonna lie, I kind of agree with you with that.
And I think she's only
and it's not bigger. And it's not so much the music, it's just like somebody gave her a torch and said, run with this.
Yeah.
And
that bitch said, meow.
Yeah, yo. Ran. And she's ran. Just running with it, yes. Like whatever it is.
Yes.
Like I can see her doing yeah. other stuff, other than music.
I think she's gonna be that's bigger both. Than she is.
Yeah.
Because she's a fashion icon.
Other than music.
Her shape, her eyebrows, her head, like... She's an artist. I think some people are singers. Some people are dancers. I think she's an artist. And I think it's inspiring okay. to see her yeah. create. Whether it's Ooh. Music or art or fashion. Like, she... I think she's doing it just right. So, a blend of that.
I love that. So, the fact that you said Beyonce... Mm-hmm. No duh.
Yeah.
I like... Sometimes I like to ask Manny this question. What stereotype do you wish you actually lived up to? Like, for me, as a Spanish woman, I wish I could throw down in the kitchen. Mm. But, I'm Colombian, also right? accepting Colombian. That I... That's not my jam.
Right. What stereotype do I wish I could live up to?
Like I have no...
wish none.
Hey!
Yeah!
I'm one of one.
Well, we know it's not that stereotype of always breaking out in
the right, right. Yeah.
Not that. I didn't mean to say I'm sorry, guys. I will say that's a good question. I don't know. If I had to choose a stereotype, I think it would be to be a really good singer. Like a gay man in Broadway, I'm like, you have a lot of power.
Like who?
Just, like, if you think about anyone, like, what's his name from Pose?
Billy Porter. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's allowed to do whatever he wants.
Like, if you have a
nobody
voice,
fucking tells him anything.
You cannot get in there.
Yo, way. No, that's for real.
If you have a voice, you can conquer the world.
Yeah. No, I am pretty jealous of people who can sing, to be honest. Too. Like, that's why I do karaoke, because I can't sing. But people
but it's
who...
a glimpse.
Don't you hate it when people who can sing
yes,
do karaoke?
Hey, you should not be in the karaoke.
Like, get out of here, bro.
Nobody
get out of here. Go record an album.
That's like, for me, like, if you're playing, like... dodgeball like, with your friends.
You're like, someone can't write.
A professional dodgeball player was like, can I come in? No, bitch, because you're going to hit me.
Yeah.
You're going to hit everybody.
what about you? Is there a stereotype?
I have no rhythm. I'm first generation Mexican. And my family and friends and complete strangers will attest to that. I have no rhythm. I wish I could dance.
That took a lot.
And,
okay. It's a safe space.
But you know what? It's fine because one. Oh, my bad.
That's okay. It's too late.
Come here.
Yep. It's already on.
I tried to live up to the stereotype of having a hookup. Like for
y'all
things.
Say fucking?
No. Like having a hook. Like, oh, I know someone for that.
Oh, hooking people up.
Yeah, like, oh, yeah.
Being
I know
the guy. Who
yeah,
knows.
Like, I like oh, I know someone for that. I got you.
And is that true? Does that always happen?
Usually, yeah. Like, especially, like, in Florida, definitely. Up here, it's a little tougher.
Yeah.
But down in Florida, I used to be able to find something for everything.
As they always say, Mexican.
Not Mexican't. Yes.
Mexican.
What did you say? You can't speak.
Said,
because it's Spanish? Not that you can't.
Yeah. You Mexican.
I Puerto Rican.
Puerto Rican. I Colombian.
I Colombian. I am.
I Colombian.
I am.
That was a
joke.
All right. I want to ask real quick because when we talked about the people that inspired you and the performers, right?
That's my favorite question.
It was all women. You're telling me there's not a single dude out there that's like, man. This guy has charisma.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Really? Steve Martin?
Steve Martin?
Here's what I'm going to say.
Yeah?
Here's what
Steve
I'm going to say.
Steve Martin has charisma, dude.
Oh, because of comedy? Are you saying
that guy
comedy?
Can do everything. That guy can do everything.
But is he a pop star?
No. I mean,
Michael
Bublé? Actually, he has an album.
Hey, Michael Bublé?
Michael Bublé is talented. Here's what I'll say.
You better be careful.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I'm gonna get dry.
Boys! You're both beautiful.
Here's what I'm gonna say. My brain just starts watching up.
Ooh, that one was a bad one.
I am inspired by women because I think female performers work harder than male performers.
Yes, yes. I'm not gonna lie, you are right.
They perform harder, their shows are more entertaining. I would love to see a male performer that isn't a reggaeton artist, that doesn't stay at their guitar by the microphone. And that isn't a bad thing.
Yeah.
That is someone's vibe, not necessarily my vibe. Mm. And I also feel like male performers that are straight don't tend to really delve into artistry of the body as much as women do.
Okay.
Configure their bodies.
Absolutely.
Women
have
use
babies
makeup.
And then come and do performances.
Women have babies and then use that inspiration to make an album. Yeah. Their makeup. Yeah. It
being
is,
pregnant and on tour still doing.
It is all art.
Yeah. Yeah.
To me. It is all art. And
You got a problem with that?
I mean, I was just wondering, you know?
And so that's my thing, right? Like, I think women are excellent artists because they use the reality of being a woman and tell a story with it. It's interrelated into everything they do, and I think that's so beautiful because it uses the human struggle and then boom, reflects it back at you with art. I think if you're powerful, if you're privileged, like if you're a straight man and you're privileged, I think it might be hard to feel the need to push yourself to a place that maybe you haven't been before, because where you're at is already good enough and awesome enough.
Yeah.
You know? That's why you see women shave their heads or do their makeup crazy.
Right.
Because it's like, how can I break away from what I'm expected to be? Mm-hmm. Whereas if you are a straight man and you have power, why would you want to break away from that?
Right.
So you stick to the mold. I'm gonna play my guitar. I'm gonna stay right here. I don't need backup dancers. I don't need makeup looks. I need, like, let me just do a cute suit.
Mm-hmm.
You can stay comfy because it's already glorified.
Right.
You know?
Wow.
So I think most of my inspo, comes from women, because I think women love to break molds.
It's who runs the world.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that answer.
And that's the thing, though. I never like to say that and make it seem like I'm shitting on straight guys.
Yeah.
But rather the idea of...
Not everybody cares about you.
I said that, a little defensive.
Yeah.
Oh, what about the dudes?
You know, like, dudes, we think.
We think.
The idea of, like, for example, even queer people. Like, I'm inspired by queer people. Why? Because they're already on the outskirts of society, so everything they do is kind of like...
For them.
Yeah, for them, and different.
Yeah.
It's different, so it's like against the grain, and I think... Women are inspiring to queer people because everything they do is against the grain. Because I feel like inside every woman is a desire to be like, don't tell me what to do. If I don't want to wear heels, I don't want to wear heels. If I don't want to wear a dress, I feel like inside every woman there's like a fire to be like, don't fucking tell me what to do. Everyone wants to tell me what to do, you know? And I think that's what makes them good artists.
Let me tell you a funny story about that. I took a kickboxing class and it irritated me anytime the instructor was like, well, you got to do it a little bit like this. And in my mind, I'm like, first of all, I don't even fucking want to be here.
Yeah.
Okay? Second of all, don't fucking tell me how to punch. I know how to fucking punch. And now I'm just like salty the whole time, because I'm like, don't fucking tell you. Look at this bitch. Like, you should be telling
he's
her.
Like, bro, you pay for this. Punch.
So yes, you are right about the don't fucking tell me what to do. I love that.
I love women. I'll tell you that. I love women. I think, I'm inspired by women.
Listen, who is the celebrity that made you realize, I don't think I like girls?
I don't think it was a celebrity as much as it was the cute ass Hispanic boys at my high school.
Are you sure it wasn't one of the guys at the hotel? He's like, those stories are for after.
Yeah.
Bubble bath stories at night.
That's for bubble bath nighttime. Late night.
The
bath.
Real bubble bath stories.
I think that's a good question. But you know what, though? I've always been crushing on boys, so I always knew. And so it was always the men around me as opposed to, like, these busted-ass celebrities.
So, like, grounded in real life. Because somebody else would have been like, oh, this person. Mm-hmm. But it's
Zach
so
Morris.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So that's
Do you think that's a typical answer, that mainly the people like somebody who says, oh, it was somebody on TV, or was it somebody around them when they realize, or I want to say it the most respectful way, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean,
yeah. But so I was like, oh, I'm gay.
No, oh my God, I'm already offended.
yeah, good. All right, perfect.
So let's just cross the line. I think ultimately everyone has a crush.
Yeah.
In elementary school or pre-K that precedes a celebrity crush.
Ah, gotcha.
You know, and so based on your crush in pre-K, I think that informs who your celebrity crushes are.
Interesting.
Yeah, so like I feel like in pre-K, I remember there was this really cute boy. For some reason, he was like fit for our age. We were like fucking 7 years old. But I remember thinking like, oh, you're so fit. And that was like one of my first crushes. And then from then on, anybody that kind of looked like him, it would inform like who I was into, you know? Like my first boyfriend was this like Venezuelan boy.
Yeah.
And he just like looked like all the people I grew up with. So I was like, oh, you're cute.
Yeah.
You're one of my first crushes. But in terms of like male celebrities,
I guess it's
right now.
It's a moot point.
Who would you say right now?
I already knew.
Who would you say right now is the hottest dude celebrity?
That's a good question.
Like, I gotta go to this movie.
Like, did people get it right with the man of the year? Like, the sexiest man of the year.
Who was it?
What's that movie that just came out that you told me that you're not gonna watch with me?
Oh yeah, why are you gonna put me on blast like that?
She'll watch it.
It was a Chris Evans
movie. Oh, Chris Evans.
Chris Evans got voted sex.
Well, what do you think of Chris Evans?
Chris Evans is cute.
Yeah.
I think Bad Bunny's very attractive.
What about
Omar Apollo?
How about this?
You know who that is? Yes.
Yeah. Oof. How about this?
If Omar Apollo told me to rob a bank.
Rob
the bank, I would do.
I'm going to turn this into a Marvel question. Out of the three Chris's, who's the best?
So Chris Evans.
Hemsworth. Pratt. Wait, isn't there another Chris?
No, that's all of them.
Okay.
So I think my answer has changed. It used to be Chris Pratt.
Really?
I love a cuddly man.
No,
I love a cuddly man.
When he was on Parks and Rec?
Yeah, I love a cuddly man. I liked him like that too.
I love a cuddly man.
Okay.
Apparently the rest of the world did too.
Yeah, it's just cute. And now though, like... I'm
too excited about that.
Well, now everyone keeps talking about Chris Evans being an awesome.
So, of course, we had technical difficulties for the first episode of season 6. So, we just stitched it together because, you know, we didn't edit anything because we're too busy for that.
So, please donate to our GoFundMe.
Yes. Also, first of all, I know you are booked and busy. And I know we got to wrap things up. But there's definitely this question that I wanted to ask you, two-parter. Mm. What would you tell your younger self?
Ooh.
Pero.
Okay.
What would you remind your older self?
Ooh.
My pussy just tied in. That's a good question.
That is a good question.
My lady went, I'm nervous. You know, like when you touch those little things in the ocean and they close up?
No, I don't touch anything in the ocean. What the hell?
We're from Florida.
Yeah. So what I would tell my younger self... Damn, Nikki. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp.com. I would tell my younger self that if you just hold on a little longer, you won't be as miserable as you are in the moment. And I think the older I've gotten, the better my quality of life. Because I think the older you are, the more things are in your control. And the things that aren't in your control, I think you have the maturity to let go.
Yeah.
And let God.
Yeah.
If it's not in your control, why let it stress me? And so I feel like getting older and getting wiser and more mature has really, I mean... amplified the quality of my life. Mm-hmm. Whereas when I was a kid, I was so depressed and so stressed about everything because, you know, you don't know anything about life. You don't have hindsight. Yeah. You haven't fucked up that much.
Right.
So it's in all the fuck-ups and all the therapy and all the experience that I feel like I'm all around a happier person now.
I love that.
What I would tell my older self is remind him the reason he got into what he's doing. Because I'm assuming I'll still be doing creative things and still be doing art. And so I feel like if you get lost in the business and you get this, Nikki, because we work in TV, when you get lost in it, you're like, well, why the fuck am I doing this?
You're jaded. Every day is the same. It's the same every fire is the same fire.
And so I think it's important, like, what was the spark that got you into it? Hold on to that spark, because then that's what's going to carry on to the end. Sometimes I'm tired as hell, you know, going to dance classes and rehearsing for drag shows. And in the moment, I'm like, bro, I just want to go home and, like, you know, fucking go on a dating app and meet someone and cuddle or some bullshit like that. But then I remember a year ago, I wanted to be in that class. A year ago, I would have killed to be in that class.
Yeah.
A year ago, I would have killed to be having the opportunity to audition for choreo and for dances and for whatever. And so, yeah, I would tell myself, remember why you started and just, like, latch onto that.
Oh my God, chill.
I like that.
Papi Rosa,
I particularly like what you said about reminding, like, hold on to, about telling your younger self. About hold on to some, or what was it?
Hold on a little longer and you won't be as miserable.
It's nuts when you think about how small of a portion when you're a kid, how those things, like, do not last.
They don't, but in the moment they are.
Like, you're really only in a grade for 9 months out of the year.
Yeah.
It is done.
But you know what, though? I say that, too, because in high school, I had to go to therapy because I was suicidal. I was depressed. They wanted to put me on meds. And I was really, 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 really bad. And then I got to a place where the older you get, the more you're like, okay, now let me go find the resources I need. And I think in high school, there was a time where, like, I was resented with my mom and my teachers and the people around me because I was a good student. And then suddenly my grades were dropping. And no one ever asked me, are you okay? They were just like, why are your grades dropping?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's sort of what's beautiful about the mental health conversation nowadays, is people are more inclined to be like, hey, are you okay? Because you're acting out of character.
Right.
If you're a good student, suddenly you're a bad student, there has to be a reason. And so that's why I say, like, hold on a little tighter, because once things are in your control, once I was able to be like, you know, I need therapy, I can go get it. I need meds. I'm going to go on this journey to get meds. Life just gets a lot better instead of waiting on people to be like, hey, I'm okay, go get help. You know,
that's
like,
beautiful, because it is true.
Yeah. And your mental health is in your hands.
Yeah.
No one else's, unfortunately.
Yeah. And the more we speak about it, I feel like the more younger people can start having some kind of their own control about it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, we should put the stitches on. Merchandise for Putaria?
Yeah, that would be good.
Right?
Do you have a catchphrase?
A what?
A catchphrase?
Que comience la putería.
Que comience la putería.
Let the democracy
start. And I just said that. Papi Rosa, we know that you gotta get going, but please let our duckies know where, one, they can find you on social media. And I know, and I know you have another show coming up in June, so please let the people know where they can get their tickets.
You can find me at Papi Rosa Baby on Instagram. The way when I made the handle, I wanted it to be set like Papi Rosa Baby. That's how I read it, but I feel like people just read it as Papi Rosa Baby, and it's like, all right, you missed the point. So Papi Rosa Baby on Instagram. I have a show June 29th at 10 p.m. at Brooklyn Comedy Collective. Drag show, sketch show, stand-up show, fashion show. Nikki will be there front row. Bubble Bath Stories will be there front row.
Manny also will be there drinking.
Manny will be in the back acting like a dad.
I need another margarita.
I love gay people.
I love gay people. Y'all are great.
Y'all do good, cool shit.
You guys, don't forget, you can always catch us on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. What else? Craigslist? TikTok. On at Bubble Bath Stories.
And if you want to know what we're up to on our socials, you can find me at Nikki Trends.
You can find me at Got No Time For This.
And if you guys are looking to get some official merchandise, head to our website, bubblebathstories.co. And if you want to just send kind words or complaints, you can hit us up at bubblebathstories@gmail.com. Papi Rosa, thank you for blessing us with your presence.
Thank you for having me, Spinning On It.
I found this on the web.
Oh.
See, because it's
the That's the chat bot. That's the chat bot.
Thank you guys so much for watching and listening. Until next time. Bye.
Bye. Adios. Bye.